This is AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Good morning, New York. Bruce, how are we doing today?
I'm doing better than you. You're sick, but I appreciate you coming in today, Roy.
Yeah, you can kind of tell.
You're a gamer. You sound more like me than I do. Matter of fact, I've got my voice back because wrestling season's been over for 2 weeks now, and I actually have a voice again.
And a life. You have free time.
Well, I have more of a life now.
What have you been doing with
all this
free time?
I don't complain about coaching wrestling. That's kind of like it's a little bit exclusive. I'm an exclusive company. No, what am I doing? I had a rough day yesterday. I'm dedicating this show, my show, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, today to Pamela Svetnick Miller, a good friend way back. Went to high school with her. One summer she was my best friend. Pretty much saw her every day during that summer, and Pamela passed away suddenly this past week, and she had her funeral service yesterday. And at the same time, one of my best friends, I'm dedicating this show to Barry Wilson, who had his 60th birthday yesterday, and he's listening this morning. Happy birthday, Barry. I tried to stay awake for a while, but had to go home and get ready for this show and go to sleep so I could wake up at 5 a.m. and prepare. There's nothing like getting all the tweets from the middle of the night. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff today, Roy. One thing we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about a guy that you and I don't really care that much for anyway, although he is, you know, normally considered one of the top defensive coordinators in football, Greg Williams.
Yep.
And everywhere Greg Williams has gone, and there's been several places Greg Williams has gone, and I'm sure you'll enlighten us on all the places he's been.
Mm-hmm.
He's managed to kind of burn bridges and create a stir where he goes. He's not the nicest guy in the world. And now we're finding out that he was paying some of his defensive players for headshots, injury shots, good hits. But, you know, in addition to that, they also pay him for fumbles recovered.
Yeah.
Sacks. Yes,
sacks,
half sacks, all of that. This is something that's going on in the NFL for a long, long time. You know, the NFL, by the way, was pretty much put together way back when, and professional football in general. If you've ever seen the movie Leatherheads with George Clooney,
uh-huh.
I mean, that was really a lot what pro football was like. They generally had two or three high-paid guys on a team that everybody could, you know, knew who they had, name recognition situations. These guys traveled in their own cars. They traveled in buses or trains. They played hurt. There was no union. There was nothing. And really what football was all about, there's always been gambling, okay? And, you know, the NFL hates it when people like me talk about that.
Well, that's kind of the origin of sport, really.
Well, it's one of the origins of sport. And you know, even when going back to Roman days when they used to toss guys in with the lions,
yeah.
There were people changing money in the stands.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, this guy's going to last, you know, until the sun gets over there.
The birth of sport in America was really horse racing.
Absolutely. And professional boxing.
Yeah, and boxing. And one of the two biggest really gambling sports are boxing and horse racing.
Yeah, so. But now it's NFL football.
Right. I mean,
and, you know,
things have expanded. But,
and you know what? Nobody has any idea, you know, how much money is bet on NFL football, because the majority of the money that's bet on NFL football is probably done on the side.
Yeah.
And it's also done offshore. And it's also, I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, Vegas is Vegas. But, you know, now in several states of the United States, you can bet on a football game like buying a lotto ticket. That's basically what you're doing. You're buying a lottery ticket. The only difference is the state keeps the juice. You know, if you play, you know, whoever, the New York Giants -7 against the New York Jets, you're basically giving that store owner or that 7-Eleven owner or that bar owner who happens to have a machine in his place of business, you're giving him the money just like you would anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a ticket just like you do in Vegas. If that ticket is worthless, you throw it away. If that, or you should save it, because if you do gamble, you do have to declare your winnings when you gamble, especially if it's over a certain amount. But you also can declare your losses. So you better keep those losing tickets.
Tax write-off? Are you saying that I should gamble for tax write-off reasons?
No, absolutely not.
I need
not.
All the tax write-off reasons.
No, absolutely not. And let me just tell you that if you go 50-50, you're ahead of the game because
it's a losing battle for us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Look, the house wins. And that's why these guys that make these lines are so – anyway, now we're getting into something else. But let's talk about Greg Williams for a second. Uh-huh. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, with all due respect to the guy, he should have had the head coaching job in Washington. The year that we got Jim Zorn, God help us, the year we got Jim Zorn – and Jim Zorn is a wonderful guy. He's a nice guy. He knows a lot about football.
It's a great family.
He's a very successful quarterback. Mm-hmm. I would say, I mean, is Zorn in the Hall of Fame? He's a borderline Hall of Famer.
I would say
he's a borderline Hall of Famer. I'd say he threw for over 30,000 yards.
Well, he was definitely a good quarterback.
Yeah, he was a pro bowler. He was a left-handed quarterback, played for for Seattle Seahawks. Yep. Basically, he threw to Steve Largent like regularly for years and years. And Steve Largent's a Hall of Famer.
I do not think he's a Hall of
Famer. No, Steve Largent's a Hall of Famer, though.
No, I'm saying Jim Zorn.
Yeah, but my point is that, you know, he never had been anything but a quarterback coach. And they had already tabbed him. And if you remember this was the year that we got Zorn was, what, 3 years ago? 3 years ago. It was when Gibbs left in the middle of the night. Basically,
I'm going to say it
because you'd kiss his butt if he was here and bared it to you right now.
He was with the Redskins from 08 to 09.
Whatever. But Gibbs kind of left them high and dry right at the end of the season. That was when Sean Taylor died. And it was just a lot of stress for Joe. He wasn't really doing what he needed to be doing. He wasn't happy. He'd been out of the game a long time. And, you know, I'm glad he left because I would have hated to have seen it age him like it would have. And now he's back doing what he is very good at and what he's always been good at, and he's with his kids because his kids are involved in what he does.
Well, he's actually traveling now, doing a religious circle.
Is he really?
Yeah,
good for him.
He wrote a book called Game Plan for Life, and he's been going around.
Well, see, you know that stuff. I don't. I basically follow Joe. I used to go to some of his fundraisers, but anyway, Joe left, and what we ended up with basically was a contest to see how late we were going to get a new head coach.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were a lot, you know, Jim Fossil's name flew up and he interviewed with the Redskins. Yeah, Brian Billick. There was a lot of stuff going on with the Redskins that year. And
But Greg Williams was the front
runner. Greg Williams was the next in line.
Well, thought to be the front runner.
He was a defensive coordinator. In Buffalo, had he been a head coach for 1 year or 2 years? I think it was just a couple of years.
2001 to 2003, he was the Bills head coach.
For 3 years, he was the Buffalo Bill head coach.
And
it didn't work
that,
out there like it hasn't worked out with a lot of people.
And before that, he was the defensive coordinator for the Oilers/Titans.
That's right. He was in Tennessee when they moved to Tennessee. And, you know, the thing about Greg was he always was big on an aggressive defense. He attacked. Mm-hmm. They didn't play a lot of man. They played a lot of zone, but he constantly was moving guys around.
Well, it didn't hurt that he had one of the best safeties to arguably ever play the game in Sean Taylor.
Well, if you think about it, too, the year that
he actually went
to the playoffs and won a playoff game in Tampa, they held Tampa to under 100 yards in that game.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for the Redskins, they only got a little over 100 yards in the game, too, but they ended up winning that game. And if it wasn't for Sean Taylor and LeVar Arrington, a name you never hear anymore because of injuries. Injuries and just the deal he got, you know, here in Washington and him and Snyder having problems.
Giants fan know all about LeVar Arrington, really.
Sure they do.
Because he got shipped to New York for, you know, a pretty good amount of money, and blew his knee out in New York. So,
right.
That's tough.
Yeah, it is. It is. Hey, Brian Mitchell ended up in New York for a year, too. And when he went to New York, but anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent there. So, anyway, we get back to Greg Williams. Mm-hmm. You know, this guy, evidently, the story is that, you know, one way or another, and I'm not going to say how I heard how it happened, but one way or another, Mr. Snyder and Vinny Serrato and some of those guys involved with the Redskins hierarchy found out that Williams was bad-mouthing Joe Gibbs. And they found out that he was bad-mouthing Snyder. And, you know, one thing led to another, and the guy didn't get the job. Now, all of a sudden, we don't have a head coach. And we've got an offensive coordinator because we've already promised Jim Zorn the job. Well, how many head coaches want to come into a situation where they can't even bring their own guy on offense? Yeah. Or, you know, they can't be involved in offense if it's a Brian Billick, right?
Uh-huh.
Brian Billick's being told that he's got an offensive coordinator. Jim Fossil is being told he's got an offensive coordinator.
Well, it was Billick's idea to bring Zorn in as his OC. So
we're going to be back. We're going to be back in a minute. This is AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I know that you are mine to keep.
And we're back, New York, here on AM 1230 WFAS. If you guys want to join the conversation, tell us what your favorite Augie's Italian sports moment of the week is. Give us a call at 240-317-7294. That number again is 240-317-7294. Call in. Give us your Augie's Italian sports moment of the week. We'll address it, talk about it a little bit. Give you a nice little gift certificate for $25 to a great restaurant.
Let me tell you something. For $25, two of you can eat all you want all afternoon, I bet.
And then not move for
hours. Yeah, you're going to have to watch TV at the bar and have a couple of cocktails, maybe.
If you have enough energy.
I wish I had an Augie's down the street from my house.
It's great.
That's where I would be all the time. Because I'm sure that he'd put a bigger TV than I have in my living. My wife won't let me get anything bigger than 63 inches in the house.
Oh, you poor child.
That sucks. I want 80 inches. I'm getting old. I can't see. Anyway, let's talk about Greg Williams. Let's finish that up. So anyway, Greg Williams does not get the job.
No.
He doesn't get the job. And, you know, they gave Greg Blatt. Not only did Greg Williams not get the head coaching job in Washington, they basically fired him. Because they hired Greg Blatch, and they told Greg Blatch not to tell him that they did that. Now, that is some strange stuff. Yeah. You remember when that was going on? That was crazy stuff. Yeah. But that's typical of...
He interviewed with Snyder four times for the head coaching position, and then was ultimately fired along with Al Saunders. Remember the OC?
Yeah, you know, sometimes people hear things that they're not going to be happy hearing. So that's why it's... probably not a good idea to try to find out what people say, be you know, when they're not talking to you sometimes, no matter how you do it, if you catch my drift.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the Redskins got what they deserved. Five more years of hell, and we're in the middle of it now. What did we win? Five games this year? We're going to be great.
Yeah, we're awesome.
Hey, listen, thank God we were on the Giants early in October. And thank God, thank you, New York Giants. Thank you, Jerry Reese. Thank you, Tom Coughlin. Thank you, Eli Manning. Thank you, New York Giants, for making my year much more enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know it didn't make Roy very happy, but...
I was fine about
he's
it.
He's a bigger Knick fan. I mean,
the Knicks. Roy's honest, trying to
backdoor Jeremy Lin's agent right now, I think, aren't
to
you?
To be honest, if I had to pick a New York team, I'm a Jets fan.
Are you really?
Yeah, I
like the Jets. Well, you love Rex.
I love Rex.
He loves Rex. And, can you get over that?
I
can't get over
it. I bought a New York Jets hat when I was like 9. At a Sports Authority. Yeah.
Now, when you were 9, one of those Jets hats. Back then, God, when were you born? You were born like in 86.
Yeah.
So was that when Krebet was a wide receiver with them?
Honestly, I don't know.
I was just a little kid.
I bought the hat because it looked cool. And it was the same thing with Clemson Tigers. I was a Clemson Tigers.
You know, it's hard not
too.
To like the Jets. And let me just say that, although, God, is everybody, I mean, Mark Sanchez, that guy is getting beat up, verbally getting beat up on Twitter, getting beat up on Facebook, getting beat up in the press, getting beat up by his own teammates every day.
Well, he had better numbers than Joe Flacco did this year. And
But they were all, did you see, but he never threw the ball down the field.
Yeah, but did Joe Flacco ever throw the ball down the field?
No, but Joe Flacco, in my opinion, that's why he's going to sit. They're not even going to franchise Flacco, and you know why. They don't want to pay him that kind of money for 1 year.
He'll get the money.
You think they're going to franchise
absolutely.
Him?
Absolutely.
Do you think they're going to franchise him?
He'll get the
money. They already franchised Ray Rice.
He'll get the money. Joe Flacco.
Signed for 2 more years, Flacco.
He has 1 more year, yeah. Joe Flacco, after next year, he'll be a free agent, and he'll get the tag. Ray Rice and Joe Flacco will both be
so you think they'll give him the tag next year.
And then he'll get a contract.
And you think they'll do a deal for Rice this year? Okay, yeah. You know, that makes sense.
I think
because
they
can't really pay that many people this year,
and they have so many free agents.
You know what? If Ray Lewis would retire, I'd give him some money. Why doesn't he retire and just become a coach? I mean, you know, he could become a coach and do some kind of deal where he signs a deal with Bisciotti on the side to be in management and make $5 million a year.
I think Rice got the tag.
He could be Ozzie's assistant as a GM. He could be an assistant GM. But I think he'd rather be on the sidelines.
Lewis is not. He'll be in Baltimore for a while. Not saying he's going to be in the field, but I'm saying he'll be in Baltimore doing something affiliated with the Ravens.
Well, you know where he might go, don't you? Now, his mom does have a house in Baltimore, but she also got her house down in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, he may go to the Dolphins eventually.
I don't think so.
I don't know, man.
He bleeds.
There's
purple.
Worse places to be than South Beach.
Yeah.
There's worse. Hey, I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I got Roy G. My boy Roy, he's hanging in there. I'm looking at him. I feel so sorry for him. He's not feeling good this morning, but he's in the studio anyway.
I'm here.
Hey, listen. Here's the thing about. Let's talk a little bit about the situation that we find Greg Williams in.
Uh-huh. Well, when he was with the Redskins.
Well, first of all, wasn't it kind of weird? Let's talk about this for a second. We started to talk about it last week. I don't remember him having a press conference ever. And I watch NFL Network every day. When he left New Orleans for St. Louis this year, it was like the game was over. He didn't answer any questions after the game.
I mean,
he was not available, and he left. And the next thing we know, he's Jeff Fisher's defensive coordinator in St. Louis, which is a great place to go. Fisher's a great head coach. Yeah. He's going to do a good job there.
And I've talked about how I think the Rams are on the uprise. I think they're going to win that division in the next
year. Well, I got news for you. Me and you both thought they were going to win 8 or 9 games this year. Yeah. It just didn't happen. Yeah. Problem, they had a lot of injuries, too. I mean, they had 3 or 4 guys that went down in the first 4 weeks.
Well, everywhere Williams has gone, he has built a good defense. I mean, the Redskins, they were the third-ranked defense in 2004. They were ninth in 2005. You know, he was the next in line to be the head coach, then just kind of left. Well, he was fired, but he was gone. No press conference, no nothing.
Then
he went to Jacksonville.
Right.
A lot of people don't even remember that he was in Jacksonville.
Right.
They had a decent defense. They weren't top tier or anything. And then he goes to New Orleans after only a year in Jacksonville, and now he leaves in the middle of the night after winning a Super Bowl in New Orleans.
Well, you know, he did a good job in New Orleans. He had some really good players. He had some injuries in the last 2 years. He lost some guys to free agency. Hey, this year in New Orleans, his defense really wasn't that good. They were okay. They were giving the ball. The problem is,
well, they were a turnover defense.
Yeah, but this isn't even a problem. I'm going to call it a problem. The problem or the situation that you come across when you score repeatedly is you're constantly kicking the ball to the other offense, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, really numbers don't mean anything on a team like that. Numbers didn't mean much to New England this year. Numbers didn't mean much to a lot of teams, to the New York Giants. The New York Giants gave up more yardage to the other team than they got yardage during the year. Now, you want to talk about something that really doesn't mean much. They won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now the Giants at one time during the year, a lot of people wanted to do away with their defense. A lot of people wanted to blow some people up.
Well, they were banged up all season.
Well, they were, and that was the whole point. But you know what? This gets back to a situation when you talk about the NFL, and you know, when we came on board in August this past year, we were predominantly, we're going to be a sports show 24/7 from now to eternity, or until the Armageddon or whatever. But when we came on board, we were an NFL show going on, and every week, it was like a new story was being written or a new chapter in a book was being done. This is one competitive league. Now, this year, there was more of a logjam, I would say, Roy, at the top and in the middle than there was at the end. There were a lot of teams this year that were terrible. That we call suck teams. And basically, they just didn't have the firepower on offense or even a good enough defense to keep other teams from scoring. But the New York Giants, what they did this year was they figured out a way to put it all together at the end of the year. And it was much better. But anyway, with Greg Williams, let's talk a little bit about paying people for big hits.
Yeah.
You know, it's been going on forever. It was going on. I'm sure Mike Ditka and the Chicago Bears with Buddy Ryan and the 46 defense back in the mid-80s. You're telling me Buddy Ryan didn't have it? Of course he did. Buddy Ryan had that system. Buddy Ryan had that system in Philadelphia I mean, they even wrote about
it. Yeah, they talked about it. Yeah.
They talked about it, and that was in the 90s. That was in the early 90s, late 80s, okay? I was in the last game that Buddy Ryan coached in Philadelphia. It was a playoff game against the Washington Redskins when we beat them. And I'm telling you right now, you know, after that game, I mean, everything blew up. You can imagine Philadelphia when you lose a game at home you're supposed to win against a division rival. It was horrible when Buddy Ryan left.
Well, this is one of those things similar to the Spygate in New England where everyone does it, but no one wants to hear about it.
And most people don't get caught doing
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Well, and when it gets out, it becomes this huge uproar like, oh my gosh, we didn't know this was going on. We had no idea. You know, so it's hard to deal with something like this when it comes out and everyone knows it goes on, but you don't want everyone to know.
You know, I wonder if there's anybody listening out there to see,
that wants to weigh in on this.
It wants to weigh on it. Not only that, maybe you know a team that probably you've noticed might be doing that, you know, that has a defensive coordinator that is that kind of cutthroat. It's not really cutthroat, but it really does get the guys banging or something. And you want to call 240, it's area code 240-317-7294. That's 240-317-7294. Give us a call. We'd love to have you on the air. We'll talk about it a little bit. We're not going to have that many breaks today. We're probably going to have three or four, but we'll get you on the air, and we won't hold you on there very long. You know, the other thing about this Spygate situation, now Joe Gibbs says he didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, right.
He coached with Greg Williams for how many years?
Actually, you know, I might believe that Joe Gibbs didn't know anything about it because Joe Gibbs didn't know
offense.
He didn't know that you could call two back-to-back timeouts. So.
Well, yeah, but not only
if you don't know, you can call two back timeouts. You
well,
probably
not
don't
only
know
that
what's
going though,
on.
Joe Gibbs comes from a time when offense was offense and defense was defense.
Yeah.
Even as a head coach, when Joe Gibbs won three Super Bowls with Richie Pettibone as his defensive coordinator, he didn't know anything. He didn't know what the defense was doing. He just let Richie handle it. And Richie did. Richie didn't have a clue what the offense was doing either. So it really didn't matter. I'm going to tell you, look around the league and look at your best defenses. You know, you look at your best defenses. You know, in Philadelphia, that was Juan Castillo this year. You know, Juan Castillo was offensive line coach for Philadelphia for 17 years, I think. I doubt Juan Castillo had a system in place like that. They were too busy just trying to make tackles for a while.
Well, he didn't know what he was doing.
No, but yeah, but you say that. In the last 6 weeks, he had the top defense in the league. Mm-hmm. So don't give Juan Castillo a hard time. He is actually also going to be defensive coordinator next year. And there's a reason he's going to be defensive coordinator next year. He's probably in line, Roy, uh-huh. to be the head coach of not either that team or another team before it's all said and done. He will have been involved.
Hey, as a Redskins fan, I hope that's right.
Well, you know what? You don't know much about Juan Castillo then. Call Riley McKenzie and ask him what he thinks
of Juan
Castillo.
That's fine.
No, I mean, Riley McKenzie, he's nobody. 17 years in the league as an offensive lineman. He said Castillo was by far the best offensive line coach he's ever
that's
had.
That's great.
And
so
he
why
had
are
Bugle
you putting him on
as a head coach. He had Bugle as a head coach.
That's
as an
great.
Offensive line
I'm not
coach.
Saying he's not a good offensive line coach. I'm saying, why is he your defensive coordinator? So on the other end.
Because a guy named like Andy Reid thought he could handle the job.
And that worked out great. They made the playoffs and made a run to the Super Bowl. On the other side of this, we're going to talk about the Knicks. We're going to talk about free agents, franchise tags. Weigh in 240-317-7294. This is AM 1230 WFAS. Well, how's your view of things today? And we're back, New York, here on AM 1230 WFAS. We're talking NFL. We're talking Greg Williams. If you guys want to weigh in, 240-317-7294. Spruce Hall, Second Opinion. And we're going to jump right in to franchise tags in the NFL since we're on the NFL subject. And there were some surprising ones. There were some obvious ones that happened right away. And then there were kind of a few, I don't know if you want to call them head scratchers, but a lot of people don't think kickers are players. And we got two franchise tag kickers. Before some other players.
And we may have some more too. You know, the one of the reasons you might do that is they really just a lot of teams don't want to give anybody the franchise tag. Number one, a lot of teams don't want to give it to them because they don't think they're worth the money. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they look at their lineup and they go, "All right, these are our free agents. Do we really want to pay any of these guys top five money?" Well, the ones that have already determined that they want these players with franchises are willing to pay that money. But you know, you can take this two ways. You can take it a way that you're doing something good for them. This is all guaranteed money, but they're not getting any bonus money.
No.
This is going to come in the form of 12 checks, one each month, not a $10 million signing bonus. Like Ray Rice eventually is going to sign for, I'm guessing.
He'll get $100 million.
He's going to sign. Well, I don't know if he'll get that much because that's a 5 or 6 year deal.
He'll get an Adrian Peterson deal.
I think he's going to get a 4 or 5 year deal for probably almost $100 million. And he'll get 15 or 20 of that up front. That way he can invest that money and then they can backload the rest of that money and it won't affect him as badly.
I think he's going to get an Adrian Peterson deal equivalent.
Boy, I tell you what, you say that and look at poor Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
But they just beat him up so bad. That's what you did with a guy that makes $20
million. In the last 3 years that Ray Rice has been a starter and that AP, has kind of had the reins in the NFL. Ray Rice has racked up 5,885 all-purpose yards.
They're as good as anybody.
That's 1,000 and some change than AP in that exact
years,
team.
How many years, Roy, is Chicago's Matt Forte had two? Two good ones, right? He's had two really good ones. Had a good rookie year.
Yeah.
Decent rookie year.
Well, he's been lights out as well. I mean, it's hard to really take a look at running backs these days because everyone wants to say that running backs are a dime a dozen. When really, I can only name five running backs that are really top tier. Matt Forte, Adrian Peterson, hopefully he comes back after blowing out his knee. Ray Rice, Matt Forte, Chris Johnson, MJD. And then from there, where do you go?
And they gave Chris Johnson all that money, then all of a sudden he doesn't look like that kind of a runner anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think that's why it has a lot of teams kind of worried about giving these long deals.
Well, you're sure that Ray Rice is going to get the deal.
Ray Rice
will
get the deal.
I think you're probably right.
Now, he'll get $100 million.
I think the way you explained it, I think it just depends on what it is they're looking for. But New Orleans, you got to scratch your head on this one. Now, don't get me wrong, top five in the NFL is a lot of money,
but
it's only a one-year deal for Drew Brees. Now, a lot of people think, he signed a five-year deal for a little over $50 million. That's his deal right now, and his deal's over, okay? They franchise him. All of a sudden, he goes to like $16-17 million, but that's only for 1 year with no upfront money. Why they did not give him the money right now, I mean, you can build an entire offense around this guy. He is athletic. He just broke Dan Marino's record.
The unbreakable. He broke it.
He broke the unbreakable record, and he plays indoors. And look at what he does from a standpoint of public relations in New Orleans. He is New Orleans.
Yeah,
he's the face of New Orleans.
He's been downgraded his entire career. In San Diego.
Because he's 6 feet tall.
In San Diego. They let him walk.
It's probably because of that birthmark on his face.
They let him walk to New Orleans after the shoulder surgery because they didn't think he could come back. Then he lights it up and wins the Super Bowl in New Orleans. Now GM Mickey Loomis is saying, well, he's a very good quarterback, not a great quarterback. I think the Saints, front office, the big guys there, knew that this Greg Williams thing was going to go down. They knew that they were going to get fined. They knew they were going to get in a heap of trouble, and they didn't have the money to pay him right now. They want to see how all this plays out. They want to see how much they get fined, how many picks they lose. And then Drew Brees will get his deal. If they don't, I don't know what New Orleans is thinking.
Well, here's the deal. They're creating a bad situation with a very good quarterback. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if Drew Brees, at the end of this year, doesn't sign a deal, and let's say the Redskins have got to use just listen to me.
I got you.
Say they have to use Kyle Orton for 1 year. Hey, buddy, let me tell you something. You don't think we're going after Drew Brees?
Kyle Orton?
I'm just telling you, that is the – you act like you don't listen to radio.
Huh?
Kyle Orton is their plan B. Their plan B is Kyle Orton.
Kyle Orton.
It's not going to be Tannehill.
They're going to be the 2008 Bears. Have Rex Grossman and Kyle Orton battling it out.
I'm telling you right now, that is their plan B for the Redskins.
Oh, man.
I know. It sucks.
I'm going to have to pick up a new squad.
Dude, I got news for you. Look at your record the last few years. You should have picked up a new squad a long time ago. This is Bruce Hall. This is Roy, my partner over here. Wondering, scratching his head about Kyle Orton. Let me tell you something. The Redskins have Rex Grossman right now.
Yep.
Kyle Orton is a step up. Not a big one, but step up. He doesn't turn the ball over like Grossman.
Yeah, he does.
He's actually probably faster than Grossman. He probably throws the ball more accurately.
I'm faster than Rex Grossman hopping on one leg. Rex Grossman is a... Come on now.
All right. Let's talk about the other guys. We talked about Ray Rice. We talked about Drew Brees.
Yep.
And, God, they've got... Now listen.
Matt Forte got the tag. We talked a little about
even
him.
If they franchise... Any franchise player can still be re-signed. You just don't get to replace your franchise player. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we could see a deal for Brees and Ray Rice in the next 2 months.
We should see a deal for Drew Brees. So. I don't think Rice is going to get the deal this year. He'll definitely get it next year.
Well, he needs to. San Francisco just franchised Deshaun Golston, that killer safety that they've got. This kid is a stud. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you, he was the guy that banged the guy on the first offensive play of the game in the playoffs and basically knocked him out of the game. Golston, Atlanta franchised a pretty good corner, Brent Grimes, which is probably not a bad deal for Grimes. He's young. And they were talking about redoing a deal for him. Atlanta has had a lot of people leave in a big hurry. They are hurting for next year as far as I'm concerned. I mean, what do you think? Don't you think Atlanta's going the wrong direction right now?
Well, I mean...
I don't think Turner...
There's a lot not to like in Atlanta.
Yeah,
Atlanta
Michael Turner, in my opinion, ran out of gas at
there
the end
was
of the season. He looked like he was running about a 5-flat 40 in the playoffs.
I believe it was Forbes magazine who said that Atlanta was the most disappointing sports city in America.
Well, you know what? I just read that, and I was thinking if the Washington Nationals didn't look so good on paper right now, we might have been right there.
Well, they were saying that
because think about it.
They're saying that disappointment is having the talent to go somewhere and failing and letting up and letting you down, similar to the Washington Capitals in Washington. But they were saying that the Braves have a lot of talent. And they're disappointing their fans. The Falcons have been the one seed and been bounced first round, embarrassingly. And they lost a hockey team to I don't even know where the Thrashers are now. The Atlanta Braves.
You know, with all due respect, the Atlanta Braves for years with Bobby Cox at the helm overachieved, did a great job, always had great minor league systems, and they went to the playoffs something like. Incredible 12 or 13 straight years. It was unbelievable. They're living off of that right now. Now, their AAA team is in Gwinnett County. They've got great young pitching. They've got a decent team. They just can't hit the ball. And, you know, Jason Hayward last year, and we're talking about baseball right now, bouncing around. But Jason Hayward last year had a horrible year after being rookie of the year before. You know, but the good news about Jason Hayward is he's still 23, 24 years old.
Well, so
he'll be fine.
The point being that is that Atlanta, as a sports city, seems to be almost a black hole for people right now.
Well, and you know, professionally
to keep Brent Grimes, I think is huge for them because if they let him walk, then you're really taking a step back if you're letting the guy walk.
No, right. Well, they got to keep their defense together.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at least that's what really carried them seed a couple years ago. I mean, Matty Ice is Matty Ice, but.
Their best front line guy on defense is John Abraham. How old is John Abraham? John Abraham's got to be 34 years old. You know, I mean, they just don't have a whole lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball anyway. They need to keep good corners. They need to keep good defensive backs. They didn't match up very well with New Orleans.
John Abraham's 33.
Yeah, they didn't match up with New Orleans well at all. Not well at all. And, you know, he's one of the reasons – You know, he's one of the keys to their future, Brent Grimes. Washington Redskins, Fred Davis, you know, Mr. Roll me one for the road.
He failed three times, failed three drug tests.
Failed three drug tests.
Technically two because one was in the offseason last year.
Roy, you'll know the answer to this because I don't. How many games did he miss at the end of the season with
four?
A guy that's supposed to be an all-pro left tackle?
I'm pretty sure he missed four games. Him and Trent Williams both missed four
games. Trent Williams, you know, who was the third pick in the draft like 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Fourth pick in the
draft. And this is a guy that came out. This is one of Vinny Serrato's things. This was a guy, literally, and we're talking about Trent Williams. This is a guy that even Oklahoma, even Bobby Stoops said he was lazy. I mean, you know, this is what I heard anyway. He had bad practice habits. He missed some practices. He was, you know, late to certain practices. And we still drafted him fourth in the draft. Now, I got to say this. Before he got busted this year, and actually had to sit out four games. He had played three or four really good games in a row.
He was starting to
Were starting to run the football because they were starting to give the ball to a couple of, to another good running back.
The Redskins do have a good backfield. It's a good.
We just don't have any wide receivers.
They have three good decent running backs. I wouldn't call them good, but they're decent. They're the best thing the Redskins
our
have.
Best, our best well, the Redskins and this is important to New Yorkers, especially Giant fans, because knowing the Redskins is very important if you're a New Yorker. You got to know where they're weak. We have weak wide receivers. I'm just telling you. Our number one wide receiver this year came from the University of Florida with Rex Grossman, where he played with Rex Grossman. And this kid, you know, had a phenomenal year. He caught, I want to say he caught 60 passes for 900 and some yards. Did a really good job. Jabbar Gaffney.
Yeah.
You know, but he's a number three or four receiver.
He might not be back.
He was our best receiver. We got Santana Moss. He stinks. You know, Chris Cooley was banged up. He's hurt. He's supposed to come back this year. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? All right.
Staying in the division, DeSean Jackson signed their franchise tag.
Well, now, he was like Fred Davis. He's a troubled child.
Yeah.
He's a troubled child. They didn't want to give him a long-term deal, but they're going to pay him top five money, but that's all he's getting. I wouldn't doubt if he doesn't show up. Now, he needs his money probably because he's probably spent every penny he's ever earned already.
Well, he really wanted a deal. I mean, they were saying that he was afraid to go across the middle because he wanted a new deal. He was afraid to get hurt. I mean, franchise tagging this guy is going to do nothing.
He didn't want to return punts this year either. You know, as a matter of fact, he didn't return punts all the time. But that was DeSean, the Arizona Cardinals, Calais Campbell. What great linebacker.
Yeah.
Just a tough guy. He got the franchise tag in Arizona. The Raiders gave it to Tyvon Branch, a safety, who's a great, great, great defensive back.
Yep. And then the two kickers, the Bungles, Mike Nugent, and the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, kickers. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, when kickers are getting it, you know you want to keep them. This is Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Roy and I'll be right back. You're listening to WFAS, AM 1230.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We got a little bit of combine to talk about, and then apparently Bruce wants to talk about the NCAA.
Yeah, man.
So
I like the NCAA.
We can definitely talk about
that. You know what? It just turned what month 3 days ago?
March.
March, and March is historically important because of March blank.
There's something to do with
madness.
Something like that.
Well, you know, they call this
some sort of basketball doohickey that goes around.
I don't even know why they call this Championship Sunday, because there's so many tournaments next week.
Well, this is the punch the ticket to the people who, you know.
These are the teams that really don't belong
exactly,
there, some of them.
Exactly.
Well, like UNC Asheville.
Well, I wouldn't say they don't belong there.
What about UNC Asheville? What are they rated? Like 130th or something?
I mean, they're going.
Yeah, I know they're going. Who else is going? Now, there is a good team going. They're ranked number 9 in the country.
Yeah. That'd be Murray State.
Murray State? Yeah, they just won the Missouri Valley Conference Championship. Barely beat Tennessee State. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a matter of fact, they came back and hit a shot with 4 seconds left in the game to beat Tennessee State. Hey, last night, first time in 20-some-odd years that Carolina beat Duke in Cameron Indoor they beat them by 18 points.
It's the worst beating since I think it was like 89.
It wasn't even It wasn't even a good game. Guess who was there? Peyton Manning. He was in the second row there. Of course, Peyton Manning earlier in the week was throwing passes down there with David Cutcliffe watching. David Cutcliffe, his offensive coordinator at University of Tennessee, when Peyton played there, David is a phenomenal offensive mind. He's a phenomenal guy. He's a phenomenal head coach in college. He's at Duke University as their head football coach. And as far as I can tell, he's not going anywhere. I think he really likes North Carolina. I think they live in Cary. Most of the guys that work there, they don't live in Durham. Durham's kind of hard to find a real, Durham's a great town. It's got a lot of history, but it's not where all the money lives. The money lives in Cary, in parts of, you know, outside of Raleigh. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce Hall. I got Roy G over here. Matt's digging into Krispy Kreme glazed donuts. Krispy Kreme just got a free shot there. But listen, if you get hungry around lunchtime, late afternoon today, and I'm pretty sure Augie's is open on Sundays, I would think that it's an Italian family restaurant. If they're closed, it's got to be Monday. And I should have the answer to that. Assume that Augie's is open 7 days a week, but you need to go to Augie's. Augie's, family Italian restaurant, best food I've ever eaten Italian in the last several years. And it's only because I can't remember the last time I had food that good. But we were talking about NCAA basketball. UNC crushed Duke. They won the regular season title. They were actually tied, both of them, at 13-2. Carolina finished 14-2. What does that tell you about the ACC, Roy? Exactly what you've been saying all year. They suck.
Yeah.
This was a down year for the ACC in ACC basketball this year. Even Virginia lost, I think, this past week. It's number two, Syracuse. Handled Louisville 58-49. Syracuse goes undefeated at home. They've lost, what, one game all year? I mean, Syracuse got a good ball club. Number four, Kansas. I watched the first half of that game, and then I think I fell asleep last night. Seriously.
It was getting to like 9:30.
You got to understand something. I went to a funeral yesterday. I got up at 5 yesterday morning. I went to a funeral, and I went to a 60th birthday party, and I barely made it home without falling asleep at the wheel. Didn't have enough coffee, I guess. But Thomas Robinson scored 25 points, had 14 rebounds as Kansas beat a pretty decent Texas team. Number seven, Marquette Warriors beat up Georgetown, 83-69. That was at Marquette. Jay Crowder had 26 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 steals. You know what? Marquette could be a Final Four team. I'm telling you, they're playing some ball right now.
I mean,
Have you seen them play an entire game? I've seen them twice.
Yeah,
I like them.
My team resides in the Big East. I've seen a lot of Big East
Marquette's
games.
Good. Georgetown has a shot. You know, because Georgetown could take the air out of the basketball and they could play the real good defense, they could surprise anybody. It just depends. You know, next week on Sunday is when they'll have all the matchups done. That's when we'll know who's going and who's not. Number eight, Missouri won 81-59 over Texas Tech. Not much of a game. Ricardo Ratliff for Missouri had 13 points and 15 rebounds. Double-double. Missouri made, are you ready for this, Roy? 16 three-pointers.
Missouri is, they're
for
looking
real.
Good, man.
They're looking good.
They're catching wind, getting strong right at the right time.
Anyone, in my opinion, of about 8 teams can win the NCAA title this year. I don't think it's going to go to a top 16, but I think top 8, anybody can win. Murray State is ranked number 9. They may stay at 9. They may even go to 10, only winning by 2, but they finished the season 30-1. 30 wins, 1 defeat. Number 10, Baylor got whacked yesterday by Iowa State. Now, Iowa State has a good basketball team, and I think Iowa State's beaten 2 top 10 teams this year. They are going to probably get a 3 seed in the NCAA, but if they keep winning and win their tournament, they might even drop below that. Wichita State got beat, lost to Illinois State, they're all right.
I don't see Iowa State getting a 3 seed.
I think they got a shot. They have to win the tournament. They have to win the tournament.
I don't see that, man. I mean, they'll get in. They'll get in, though. I think they'll be like a 9 or a 10 seed.
You think they're going to be that low?
Yeah. I don't think they're very good.
Okay. Well, Creighton, they're ranked number 24. You know, you're looking at what there? A 6 seed, 7 seed, maybe a 5 seed if they win their tournament. Creighton beat Evansville 99-71.
Well, we got a call coming in right now, right? So we can
fantastic. Who we talking to here?
Hello?
Yeah, awesome. Hey, who's
there
this?
There we go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
We can hear you, buddy. Go ahead.
All right. I got 2 questions.
Sure. Okay.
Actually, I got 2 questions and a statement.
Go for it.
First question is, what do you think Murray State's going to do in the tournament? How far do you think they're going to make it? Second question is, what seed do you see the West Virginia getting if they do make the tournament? And third, I don't know. I mean, Syracuse, you know, they got the number 1 seed. They only lost 1 game, but without Fat Melo, and you know, their defense, they get lazy sometimes, and I think someone can sneak up on them.
Well, you know, yeah, I agree with you on the Syracuse thing. Roy, mm-hmm. you take the West Virginia question, because Roy's a West Virginia
alum. I did go
alum.
To WVU, yeah. So, first off, yes, I do see the Mountaineers punching a ticket to the dance. I think they're going to be a 9 or a 10 seed. I don't see them making too much noise. Unfortunately, they got a young squad. They play a really deep bench. But, I mean, they could win. I think they're a one and done. It really depends on the headband, see how much he puts in. And Murray State, I think it all depends on where their seed is. If they're playing, you know, if they're playing a 3 or 4 seed schedule, then I can see them, you know, maybe making some noise. But if they kind of get, you know, screwed over a little bit and catch a 4 or 5 seed, then they could be a 1 or 2 done team. But yeah, I mean, thanks for the call. I agree with you about Syracuse. I think they get lazy at times. They played a really tough Big East schedule and made it through with only one loss. So I like Syracuse.
They got to be tired. I mean, it's been a long season for the Orange Men. They got a good club, and look at all the stuff they went through before all that started. Mm-hmm. You know, with the assistant coach and all that crap. You got to take your hat off to Jim Boeheim. You know, I mean, the guy's done a phenomenal job this year with them. But Georgetown might be, in my opinion, they may be the surprise in the Big East. I just got to – they almost feel – to me, they look like they're just kind of trying not to peak now. I mean, I've watched them play most of the year because they play their games not far from where we are. Mm-hmm. Roy made a great comment about Missouri earlier. Missouri could end up in the Final Four because they can score points in a bunch, and they play pretty good defense, Roy, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like they don't play defense. If Duke shows up in the Elite Eight or even in the Sweet 16 and plays like they played last night and shoots like they did last night, Duke's in and out. They're you know, they may be 2 and done. You know, I'm not a big fan of Duke this year. I just don't think they're that good. You know, Roy, who is your big dark horse? You know, West Virginia can't be it because they're probably not.
I mean, as much as I would love West Virginia to really make some noise, I just don't know. I don't see how far they're going to go. Again, like I said, it has to do with the headband and Kevin Jones, but who is, my opinion, he's Big East Player of the Year. But their squad's too young. They're a year or two away from actually making a deep run. I mean, I really wouldn't call him a dark horse. But my team, I mean, my two teams that I've been riding for the last, I don't know, month or so is Ohio State and Syracuse.
Right.
I mean, Syracuse can run with anybody. They do get lazy at times in that playing that step back zone. But that zone, also, when it's hitting, they're a team to, you know, you can't score much on Syracuse when they're really playing a tough zone. But Ohio State, Jared Sullinger, I mean, that guy, last year, everyone was saying he was going to be a top 5 pick in the NBA, and he came back. And I mean, that guy is just a manimal. So that guy inside the paint, I mean, that guy is something to mess with. And the Ohio State team, they can run with anybody. They've been playing lights out.
They've beaten a lot of good teams too. I mean, Ohio State has beaten what, 4 of the top, I'd say 15 teams in the country. Three of the top 15. Mm-hmm. Kansas. You can't take your eyes off Kansas for very long. Their big men are extremely talented. They move the ball up and down the floor, mm-hmm. and they play great defense. When they were ranked 10th or 11th in the country about, what, 3 weeks ago, a buddy of mine called me from Vegas, and he said, who do you like as a long shot? I said, you know what? It wouldn't surprise me to see Kansas in the NCAA championship game.
I really wouldn't call them a long shot right now.
Well,
I mean,
they're not now because they're ranked number 3 or 4.
They're number 4, yeah. I mean, they've slipped up. They slipped up against that Ohio State team that you were talking about. They lost to Missouri. But other than that, I mean, look at their losses in the season. Duke, Kentucky.
Right.
Iowa State.
Well, Kentucky, I mean, it's hard.
Missouri.
Yeah.
I mean, the only team that they really lost to that is probably not going to get in is Davidson. And, I mean, you liked Ohio or Iowa State. I like Missouri. UK, who doesn't like Kentucky right now?
Yeah.
Duke, I mean, Duke could get a one seed.
Kentucky's probably got the best player in the country right now.
I mean, I think Duke kind of lost their one seed last night.
I think they lost. They might have lost a 2 seed if they go 1 and out in the ACC tournament. They could end up like number 10 or 11.
Yeah, but we talked about how weak the ACC is. They're not going to be out 1 and out.
I'll tell you what, you never know, though. You really don't. Unfortunately, Virginia won't be one of those teams.
Yeah.
You look at Marquette. They're just scary. You know, I was watching their highlights last night. Mm-hmm. They get up and down the floor so well.
The whole Big East runs, man. I mean, call me a homer, but the Big East.
No, you're not a homer. I mean, they're probably they're as strong as anybody. You can't say the SEC's right there. I mean, the SEC has three or four really good teams, but then the rest of them aren't all that great.
I mean, the Big 12, Kansas, Missouri, Baylor, Iowa State, Kansas State, Texas bubble team. I mean, depending on what Texas does in the championship week or whatever you want to call it in their tournament, they could get in. But I mean, the Big East is going to send 10. They're going to send 10 teams again. They're going to make noise. And I mean, UConn won it last year, so look for the Big East teams to make noise in the tournament. And like the caller said, Syracuse, I think, has room to make a run, a big-time run.
We'll be back in a minute. This is Bruce Hall. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS.
What do you think a teacher's going to look like this year?
Like a bird.
And we're back, New York.
Is that a bird?
A bird. Bruce, here.
Is this music or is this a bird?
It's a bird, Bruce. That's exactly what it is. And we're back, New York. This is AM 1230.
I'm hungry.
AS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. And I think we're going to get into some NBA here. Some Knicks, some Linsanity, as always.
Hey, I'm gonna read some NBA scores from last night. Because I'll tell you what, I'm getting, you know, I think I told everybody, I started watching a bunch of NBA basketball again last couple of weeks.
You were pooping on the NBA for a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but I'm hooked. It didn't help watching that All-Star game. Talk about no defense.
Dude, I love that, though.
Yeah, well, you love that.
I love no defense in the NBA.
You would pay to see paint dry, though.
Awesome. No defense in the NBA. Awesome. No defense in the NFL. Stupid.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean,
the Pro Bowl is dumb. The NBA All-Star game is awesome.
Hey, scores from last night. Kevin Love had 42 points and 10 rebounds as the Minnesota Timberwolves are starting to win again.
Kevin Love is beast. He's a beast mode. He won the 3-point contest.
Yeah, 5-1.
What is that?
Dude, he went off at 5-1 and won it. I love the guy. You know why I played him? He was the only guy I really knew. He was the only guy that was shooting threes I knew.
In the 3-point contest?
Yes.
Durantula? Kevin Durant?
Well, he doesn't count. He wasn't going to hit any threes.
And you believed that?
Durant's 6'11". He plays inside most of the time. Kevin Love is a white dude, can't jump that well. He's a shooter.
No, he's
white
not.
White dudes shoot better from way outside.
Okay, I'll agree that white people throughout history seem to be better shooters because they are afraid to drive
in
their backyards.
What's the guy's name? He used to play for the... He's on NBA.com. He's all over the place. He is an NBA insider. Uh-huh. He used to play for the Washington Wizards the Bullets. You know who I'm talking about?
No.
Anyway, he's white as a ghost. Anyway, Kevin Durant had 35 last night, but Oklahoma City got beat. Roy, what happened to him?
OKC? Well, you know, you're not going to win them all, I guess. You know, I mean, come on now. You can't win every game. It's not going to happen. So,
yeah, but and the City,
Hawks and the Hawks
they were on the road.
The Hawks are a good team. So yeah. they're a good young team. They're a playoff team. So I mean,
we were just talking about how Atlanta was so bad though.
No, well the city of Atlanta.
Hey, you know who everybody's watching right now? Dwight Howard had a double double. Magic won 114-98 over the Bucks. Josh Smith had 30 points.
I mean, look. The OKC, they ended their 7-game winning streak. But did anyone actually think that this winning streak was going to go through? You know, I mean, did anyone think they're going to win 20 in a row? No. I mean, come on now. Like I said, the Hawks, they might be a little banged up right now, but they're still a very good basketball team. They're still a playoff team. You know, they still have a good core of people there. I mean, they're not Oklahoma City.
Playoff team. They're a playoff team.
Yeah, they're a playoff
Jordan
team.
Jordan Crawford and John Wall, speaking of non-playoff teams. Jordan Crawford and John Wall combined for 55 points. Wizards beat the Cavaliers in Washington. And that's a rare occurrence, by the way, this year. 101-98.
Cleveland sucks.
Yeah, they suck. But they got one player that's
phenomenal. Kyrie Irving, who's a first-year rookie out of Duke.
You know who had a great game last night?
I wouldn't even say that he played for Duke because he played like for a month or two and then got hurt for the rest of the season and was still the number one overall pick. I mean, the dude is beast mode, and he showed up in the rookie game, in the futures game. But I mean, That's all Cleveland has. The Wizards suck.
Old buddy sucks. Old buddy of yours, Antoine Jameson, started off hot. He scored 15 points in the first quarter, but he ended up with 29 points, 9 rebounds, and a losing effort. But, you know, they were saying that he just looked like he had picked up where he left off. He's one of the few guys the Wizards have had in recent years that brought it every night.
Well, he was captain.
He brought all he had. He's a Carolina boy.
He was the captain of the Wizards when he was in Washington. And they let him go. They blew up the team. I'm sure there was no hard feelings really when they let him go. It was more to help him out. I mean, the Wizards, if he had stayed, it just would have ruined him.
Yeah.
I mean, they sent him to Cleveland where at the time.
Isn't that a little bit like going to Siberia, like if you're in the Russian army, going to Cleveland?
I mean, when they sent him to Cleveland, they had LeBron James and Shaquille O'Neal.
They weren't going to keep LeBron though.
Yeah, well, at that the when
that's
they,
probably why they needed to get Jameson. They needed some points.
Well, when they sent Jameson to Cleveland, Cleveland was the favorite to win the NBA title, and everyone thought that LeBron was going to stay if they could win it. That Shaquille O'Neal came over, LBJ was there. They had Mo Williams. They brought in Jameson.
And by the way, if you read anything I write on Facebook, calling somebody LBJ is not a compliment. They ought to be, because it takes people my age back to Lyndon Baines Johnson, who I don't even want to get into that. He was maybe the worst president in the history of presidents. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm talking to Roy G. We're talking NBA right now. I have a question for you, Roy.
Yeah.
Why is W in German, or wherever Dirk Nowitzki's from, why is W pronounced with a V? I know you don't know.
What?
They won 102-96 last night. Dirk Nowitzki. You're too sick to keep up with me.
I'm keeping up.
Great
I guess.
Article in the New York Post. Great article in New York Post today. I was just asking you. A great article about the reserve players and the impact they're having on the recent surge by the Knicks. Evidently, D'Antoni's been claiming to reporters and everybody that hey, not only has the second team been holding their own in practices against the Knicks starters. But they've actually been beating up on him a little bit. Carmelo said yesterday, and I quote, the second unit is talking trash. And this is in a good way. At least they're starting to have fun. Coach made a comment, they've been beating us in practice lately. When your second unit is playing that well against us in practice, it just makes us better.
Yeah.
There's a great article online also in the Post about J.R. Smith. You know, a lot of people forget how talented this kid was. He came out of high school. I mean, to play in the NBA – you know,
well, that was back when you were allowed to come out of high school. You can't do that anymore.
He had a horrible traffic accident, cost the life of one of his close friends, and the inability of him as a young man, in my opinion, to make the changes and adapt in certain cities. He even went to China, where he got fined over $1 million for being late to practices, not showing up to practices.
Well, now, he was kind of forced to go to China.
Right.
There was no like, hey.
Well, I mean, it's either China.
Do you want to go to China? It's out of the NBA, buddy.
It's either China or it's Europe. But he's back. He's home. You know, it sounds to me like this kid comes from, evidently his father's extremely successful in business. He owns a bunch of racehorses. He lives in a mansion in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And like his old man said, there's always a room for my boy there. And, you know, good for him. I just hope he straightens it out. I will say this. There's no room on his damn body for another tattoo. How old is the kid? 22?
He's 26.
Oh, is he? Oh, well, no wonder.
What is that supposed to mean?
Because it means that he's gotten probably.
No wonder. That guy is 26.
I thought he was like 22, 23.
I know
I thought
all
he was
about 26-year-olds.
Well, I'm talking about room on his body for tattoos, goofball.
Well, he played for the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, hey, there's something good for his resume.
Well, he played for the Denver Nuggets when
Carmelo was there.
Yeah, and they were the tattoo team with Birdman and Billups, and they were all tatted up.
I want a tattoo. I don't have a tattoo. I'm 58. I still don't have a tattoo. This is Bruce Hall, tattooless Bruce Hall, talking to Roy G.
The guy's a troublemaker.
We got Matt Lynch over in the box over here. Matt, you haven't said a word today. You're playing with that little thing you got in your hand. What is that? An iPad?
It's an iPad.
Is that an iPad?
Yes.
God, man. I always wanted one of those. I got to get an iPhone.
I'm surprised you knew what that was. What is that? What do you got over there?
My wife Carol works for Cisco.
That's got to be the thinnest book I've ever seen.
It is tiny. How does he do that? It's the littlest computer I've ever seen. Anyway, let's talk about this. Let me ask you this. Big game today, Roy.
Yeah.
Knicks are getting 2.5, 3 points, depends on where you look, in Boston. Now, that's where I'm going to be watching, 1 o'clock. What about you? You're going to be watching that? Or you're going to be asleep taking cold medicine?
I'll watch that game.
You got to take a nap with your little boy and watch. I mean, you got to let him watch basketball.
He loves basketball. He loves soccer for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh my God.
He loves soccer. He freaked out. I don't know. I don't know why we haven't touched on this yet, but the United States beat Italy the first time ever.
Well, Italy is like World Cup champs.
Ever.
I mean, you know.
I mean, yes, it was a friendly.
How many World Cups has Italy won? Like five?
And I will admit that's the only.
Four.
That's like the only soccer. I didn't even watch the full game. I watched like the last like 30 minutes of it or whatever, and it was like I was scanning through all my sites, and the ESPN popped up, and it was like USA leads Italy 1-0. I was like, okay, I guess I'll watch it. No, I didn't even see the goal, but I mean, I saw the replay of it, and my son went crazy. Like, he was banging on my computer. I was like, you gotta stop that, buddy.
Hey, listen,
that like 16 months already knows that USA beat Italy. He was just watching it. He was like, this is awesome. I was like, calm down, buddy.
All right, so that means that congratulations to the U.S. soccer
team.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't watch soccer. I don't really like soccer.
Yeah, but I mean, if we beat Italy, we're probably going to make it.
It's
at
a friendly game. Hey, don't get
when
your
does the World
up.
Cup start, Matt, Mr. Soccer Expert?
2014.
What's up with that? Why don't they have it every year?
Yeah.
Is it like every? Oh God!
Still a lot of soccer to be played.
Well,
so.
The thing I don't like about
Tim
soccer,
Howard could be. I mean, he could be on retirement plans by the time the next
World
Cup rolls
around. Why do people get so upset at the end of games, though?
Guy's old.
Why do people get so upset at soccer games? I mean, you know, you always read about people getting killed, trampled, having a rush. I mean,
well, it's
what
all
is
they
that
got
about?
In other countries, man. There's no like four seasons of sports. There's soccer year round. That's what it is. It's soccer, 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 soccer.
Hey,
soccer,
aren't
soccer.
There hooligans in soccer?
Yeah, there's like little
like,
gangs.
Are they from like England and Ireland and Scotland and
hooligans?
Not, Matt just said not in Ireland.
What is it? Green is it
in
Green
Ireland,
Street Hooligans?
Drinking beer.
Is that that's what the movie's called? Green Street Hooligans. It's a great movie.
Is it?
You'd probably like it, Bruce.
What's it called?
Green Street Hooligans.
All right, I'll watch.
It's about a soccer club hooligans. About
yeah.
A group of guys that just run around and fight. They follow the team around. It's pretty awesome.
I got to get that. This is Bruce Hall. I'm talking to Roy. Hey, listen, give us a call, 240-317-7294. That's 240-317-7294. If you want to talk about anything, bring something up. You got a question, just want to chow in. You got something you're dying to say about the Yankees, the Jets, the Giants, the Mets.
Are you done?
You know, the Brooklyn minor league team.
Matt put he went over, got the microphone,
hey,
put it in, and it was like, never mind.
Hey, you know what I
really.
You know what I feel bad about? We never talk about the Nets.
Who cares?
Oh, geez, Roy. The Nets aren't that bad.
They're not that bad.
Didn't they beat the Knicks
they
last
beat the
time
Knicks.
They played them?
Yeah, and Williams.
Well, how bad
Williams,
can they be?
Williams went lights out. I mean, that guy, look. They have Williams. They have a great point guard. They have a top 5 point guard in the league. Congratulations, Nets. You're still very, very, very far away from being relevant in
really?
The NBA. Yeah.
Are they? Hey, and I love Fordham, but Temple crushed them yesterday.
I mean, let's see. If the Knicks are the Bengals, all right,
the Bengals?
Yeah, I mean.
Now the Bengals are decent.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, okay.
The Knicks are the Bengals.
Right, the
okay?
Knicks are
and
the Bengals.
And I know a lot of Knicks fans aren't going to want to hear that. Look.
No, but that's exactly what they are. They're barely a playoff.
Exactly,
game.
They're right on the okay. They're right on the edge of the playoff team.
I'm following you.
Obviously, the Knicks have a lot more back history than the Bengals, and they're a lot bigger deal to basketball than the Bengals are to football. But I'm saying, position wise, where they are in playoff races, the Knicks are the Bengals. Okay, stick with me for a second. Then the Nets are the Browns. Okay, same state. Well, I'll call New Yorkers do not want to hear that New Jersey is part of New York, but
so
we'll say
same area.
I think the Browns, the Nets are the Browns.
Right.
They're kind of like, oh, they're a football team. That's cute, you know.
Yeah, that
like,
is cute.
The Nets are a basketball team. That's adorable. The Knicks, you know, are on. They're reaching for the playoffs. They don't really care about the Browns. The Browns are just
you think.
Know, the Nets are a team that the Knicks get to beat up on, you know, every once in a while and put on their resume. That's who the Nets are. Now, I know the Nets got them last time, but the Nets were talking about how this
they
was
got
a
cool,
revenge game.
They got a cool owner.
They got that guy who has like 12 AK-47s
I
on
like
his
the
dining
guy.
Room table.
I love that guy. Like, he's probably in the cab business.
I mean, they got Dwight Howard's attention.
Russian. He's Russian. You ever been to New York and taken a cab? No.
Yeah.
Everybody's Russian, and they beep the horn every 3 seconds.
They do beep the horn.
I love being in New York.
Well,
I love driving in New York City.
Jay-Z owns a part of the Nets, too.
He probably owns a cab company, too.
So, what is this with cabs, man?
Hey, listen, you know the Yankees opened up yesterday with spring training? Do you know what happened? They actually won 8-5, but all the starters didn't play. I mean, it was like Teixeira's hurt.
Who'd they play?
He's banged up. They beat Philly 8-5, and guess who started? Cole Hamels.
Huh?
So they beat Hamels. No big deal.
How many innings did Hamels go?
Just two. I think everybody just went two.
Yeah. Two.
Yeah, I mean, they looked okay. I mean, they're in Florida. You know, they're in Tampa. I just can't relate.
You like the Arizona leagues.
I'm an Arizona guy. Yeah. I think eventually, 10 years from now, everybody will be in Arizona. I'm just saying
that.
The
East Coast teams want to stay in Florida.
They're running out of teams on the East Coast, though. I mean, you got to travel so far. If you're in Fort Myers or Tampa or somewhere like that, you're like almost taking a plane to go have a preseason game. Anyway, we're going to be right back. This is Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Stay tuned.
Try to bring it in. Gonna throw it back to you. And we're back, New York, here on AM 1230 WFAS.
You're tripping.
Yes, I knew I was live there. There it is. Sounds just like me. I wrote
this song,
actually.
Though.
This guy was definitely sick when he wrote this.
Who is this?
It's Oasis. You don't know about Oasis, you old man.
I don't know about Oasis.
You don't know about this.
Hey, Peyton Manning was throwing a football down in Durham a couple days ago, and they got it on film. It's been everywhere. And I called down there and talked to a buddy of mine, and yeah.
Who told
down.
You not to say anything
well,
as
I'm not,
you
I'm not going to.
It.
It's just a friend of mine. It's just a friend of mine. No. Everybody knows it's there. It's on damn Twitter. I mean, there's film of it. But evidently, you can make him out. You can watch the film. You can make your own assessment of it. It looks like Peyton Manning's okay. And he was in the second row at the Duke Carolina game last night. And who didn't know that?
Well,
I knew that.
He was at the Duke game.
He wasn't leaving. He wanted to stop and see that game.
Good job, Peyton.
He wanted to stop and see that game. I'm Bruce Hall.
So the game today.
I got Roy G on my left. Look, we're going to watch this game at 1 o'clock. Who's going to win, Roy? I want to hear why.
I'm the Knicks.
The Knicks are going to win, aren't they?
I'm on the Knicks. I'm
going to take the 2.5, 3 points.
I know why you like the Celtics.
I don't really like the Celtics that much.
But look, this is why. I'm not.
How can I not like the Knicks?
There's two bad apples in this game. There's J.R. Smith. He's had injury problems. How can I give this guy a break? He's been kicked out of every fine in every league that he's suspended in every league that he's ever touched.
Right.
And now he walks into the Knicks. You know, after being when he played for the Nuggets,
but
he
he's
was
home.
When he when,
he's home.
Come on now. When he
lives
was
in New Jersey,
he's not that home.
He's when from he played, New Jersey.
In 2006, when he played for the Nuggets, he was in a brawl against his home team, Knicks. So I'm not digging this. He's home. He was in a brawl with this team. So
you say that like it's a bad thing.
And he was suspended for 10 games. I mean, look,
Brawls.
He's not the only. Well, come on now.
You definitely wouldn't go this pay for hurting somebody that the NFL's going through right now. You would never play for Greg Williams if you don't like brawls. No way. Think about how many times you probably got money if you started some crap with a guy on the other team and they threw a flag and the other guy got 15 yards. What do you think that was worth, $500? Because I could do that easy. just trip a guy and he gets up and smacks you in the face. Here comes the flag.
I mean, after the brawl, a year later he was involved in a Denver nightclub in some incident that apparently no one really wants to talk about. He was suspended for the first 3 games.
I bet I know what he did.
He was added to the U.S. basketball team to prepare for the Olympics. You know, congratulations, J.R. Smith. Everyone knows you were a talent. I don't know how you got picked for the USA Olympics team. And then, you know, he went on to do a couple good things, but, you know, and then they shipped him off to the Chinese League because no one wanted to deal with him. He's a bad apple, just like nobody wants to deal with T.O. right now because he's a bad apple.
He must have been getting paid a lot of money because he got fined over $1 million in China.
Then you take a look at Rajon Rondo on the other side of the ball, the other side of the court in today's game, where the Celtics are asking anybody to step up to the plate and take this guy, man.
No, I hear you.
The guy's a head case. He's bipolar. The dude's crazy. He's tearing up the locker room. You know, he's a talent. He's a great talent, but he's tearing apart
He's got great tattoos.
He's tearing apart this
He's 26.
He must be 26.
Because you can't even see any skin. If he was younger, you could at least see some skin with a tattoo.
You're talking about J.R. Smith.
Yes.
Yeah, Rajon Rondo doesn't have any tattoos.
Rajon Rondo's got just a cool name.
Rajon Rondo
sounds like some kind of sickness.
I mean, he's tearing apart this locker room that is it's a veteran locker room. I mean, they got good leadership in this locker room with Paul Pierce and Ray Allen, and now he's just stepping in there with apparently just a terrible attitude, terrible personality. He's tearing apart this locker room. The Celtics want to get rid of him. They're trying to shop
him. Well, they cut his minutes to next to nothing. I mean, he's not playing that much anymore, you know? Hey, real quick, I'm sitting here on Twitter. I'm looking. Starting lineup today for the Milwaukee Brewers, your boy Ryan Braun. We haven't even touched on that. Ryan Braun, batting third, playing left field for the Milwaukee Brewers. Hey,
well, he's not going to get the suspension.
I don't care how he did it. He tested positive, period.
You don't know that.
Are you kidding me?
You don't.
Yes, I do.
How do you know that?
Because I read what this guy that tested him said, and I believe the guy. Yeah. The guy has never done anything wrong in his life.
Except lose the thing for 48 hours.
No, he didn't lose anything. It was at his house.
Okay, well, you can't do that.
Well, you know what? They did that to tens and hundreds of samples that they eventually sent in on Monday, and everything was fine for all of those except this one. Let me tell you what this screams of and stinks like. Who's the commissioner of baseball?
Bud Selig.
Yeah. What team does he still own, even though he doesn't own any stock in it? The Milwaukee Brewers. His daughter owns it. Okay? He's a used car salesman. He's a horrible commissioner. And I'm telling you, it stinks that just because he's a Brewer, they ended up screwing this up somehow. I'm telling you right now, this guy is dirty. And you know what? If they're going to, you know, I just think Major League Baseball should come back and they should appeal the decision. And where did, you know, nobody's answered this question for me. Mm-hmm. Where did this arbitrator come from? I've asked 50 people and nobody's answered me yet. I've asked 50 different people on Twitter, everywhere I go. Everybody goes, well, you know, that's a good question because we've asked it and nobody's answered us. He's just some guy that jumped in the middle of this that basically made it so Ryan Braun got to play ball and didn't lose 50 games. And I'm telling you right now, if this guy was a New York Yankee, he wouldn't be playing right now because there wouldn't have been an arbitrator. I'm Bruce Hall, and I believe in conspiracy theories.
Apparently.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what you say. Major League Baseball is a good old boy network. It's the reason that Bud Selig has ever been commissioner. The guy was an owner when he was commissioner. It was because they don't want somebody telling them what to do. They've never wanted anybody telling them what to do. They still are exempt from all the same laws and taxes they're not even like the NFL. They're better than the NFL. They have an exemption that's unreal. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely unbelievable. But anyway, forget that. Do you really think that this guy did anything different? If you read the article, and two or three articles came out this week where this guy was interviewed by reputable reporters.
I see what you're saying.
They did it with everybody else. They did it with everybody else, and it was fine.
Well, it's a flawed system. Well, obviously, it's a flawed system. Well, the guy, he said if this could possibly ruin a career.
I'm telling you, he tested positive.
Maybe he did.
100 times the amount of testosterone he's supposed to have in his system.
Maybe he did test positive, but they released the results.
It's just a technicality.
They released the results way too early.
I know.
What if he didn't?
Did you read Christine Brennan's article in the Washington Post this week? On him. She said basically he's turned into a bully. Now, Braun could have just kept his mouth shut, but no, he had to attack this guy.
Well, because
he had to attack this guy.
Because people are sitting, well, like we're sitting here right now questioning whether or not he took steroids or not.
Whereas, I'm not questioning it. You are.
Well, you think that he did.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Well, I mean,
I'm 100% sure.
That's
he
why
did.
Braun's so ticked off is because the results should never have been leaked in the first place. That's what he's ticked off about, is saying that there's a flawed system. They knew that they weren't supposed to keep the results there overnight or for 48 hours or however long it was. You weren't supposed to do that, so why'd you release the stats or the results? You should have retested. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Their policy of that company was to keep it at the person's house overnight, Okay.
Well, it's a flawed system.
Okay. Well, I'm just telling you, they did. Well, they'll never do it again.
No, that's
but then, you know, in my opinion, they'll just find some other reason to make it so Ryan Braun gets off. And that's what I think happened. I really do. I mean, that's just me.
I mean,
you know, there's
you.
All these teams, and it's a Milwaukee Brewer.
I think.
I mean, come on.
Andy,
Ryan Braun, by the way, used to be
MVP. That's the big underlying.
He also used to be a bony little guy, and he ain't so bony anymore.
He's still a little bony.
No, he ain't bony anymore.
I mean, he's a professional athlete.
He is jacked to the max.
He's a professional athlete.
Yeah, but Ryan was always a pretty thin guy. I'm Bruce Saul. This is Roy. We're arguing about this Ryan Braun situation. I really did like that article, that piece I read in the Washington Post.
He was MVP.
I'm not a big
Washington Post
fan because their sports page is about the size of the Weekly Reader.
It's a Dr. Seuss novel.
It really is.
Dr. Seuss's birthday was yesterday. There's a quick reference for it.
Yeah, Dr. Seuss is cool, though. The Washington Post, not so cool. Yeah. We have a word for that where I come from, but I'm not going to get into it.
But look.
What are we going to do about it? Are we going to change the rules? We got to.
Yeah.
Well, what are
you
we
have
do?
To fix this.
Okay, well, what are we going to do? No one's called me. I'll fix it.
Well,
hey, I've also offered.
I think there's a few people they have to call before they get
to.
You're on the list, though. You're on the list of people to call.
Roy, shut up.
Don't worry.
Just because of that. Let me tell you
you're
something.
You're like 10 people down. Don't worry.
No, I'm not 10. I'm like right there.
They got to call CVS. A couple other people's before they call you.
CVS?
CVS, the pharmacy. They're calling them first.
Yeah, that's all they need is CVS doing the test.
We heard you do 24-hour turnaround prescriptions. Can you do our...
But I got to stand here and watch you do it. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, that's the problem with any testing.
Well, come on
But look at all the testing they do, like in criminal trials and stuff. Think about all the stuff that we have no idea what happens to that stuff. And people's lives are...
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't somebody's life. This is just his livelihood.
Well, you hear about it all the time where people are in prison saying they didn't do it, and then the test will come out later saying that they screwed up, and then people get out of prison being in prison for like 15, 20 years.
Your boy Nigel Morgan's batting second for the Brewers.
I love Nigel Morgan,
man.
I got two Nigel Morgan jerseys.
He was a hockey player. A lot of people think that he should have kept playing hockey.
I'm just glad. No, I don't think so. I'm just glad baseball's back, man.
Oh,
I mean, the Yankees.
Thank God.
Now
we're getting the snow, though.
And now
it's snowing like hell everywhere.
And now they just got passed officially now that the MLB is going to add another playoff team. So now there's going to be 5 in each division. There's going to be 10 total playoff teams. And you know there's a direct correlation there to 2 divisions. There is the Yankees division and the Mets division. That's going to be huge for both of those divisions.
If you want to listen to something that I heard on the way in here, it's pretty interesting stuff. They look back, and the difference between the real wild card position, and this is in the National League, and in the next wild card, what would be the wild card team, was over the past 10 years was only 19 games. That's 1.9 games per year. You know what it was in the American League? 4.9 games. They also made the stipulation. This was a 4-letter, you know, guy who has a really good morning show. I'm not going to say his name because, you know, they don't pay us to do that. And I got to tell you, he made a good point with this. That the best night ever in Major League Baseball, which was last year, that last night when Tampa Bay.
Last weekend.
Well,
it's happened.
That would have never happened. Mm-hmm. It would have never happened because both teams wouldn't have cared.
Well, Well, now he duplicates that. The last 2 years, it's come down to the last weekend. You know, I mean, remember the Rockies got in that way. Tampa Bay gets in that. Last year, wasn't it like 7 minutes apart? Like the two teams got in.
Do you want to hear what I would have done? And this is me. If I'm going to expand, let's expand perfectly. Let's expand to 8 teams each league. And let me tell you why. You go 1-8, 2-7, 3. Now you have to do it that way because then you go 2 out of 3 games. Or 3 out of 5s.
I think that's way too many.
But then you're down to 4. Then you only have 2 more series.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, if you're going to do 6.
There's 5. They're doing 5.
Well, if you're going to do 5, why not do 8? Because you might as well.
It's way too much baseball.
But it's only one more. It's not any more weeks. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but.
That week that you play that game you play, you have to add 1 week to make that happen.
Well, it's 1 game. That's all it is.
And see, I don't agree with that. If you're going to do that, I don't.
I love
that. I like 2 out of 3.
No.
Oh, man, no. Are you kidding me?
You're riding the one-game playoff.
What happens if you give up a 9-run first inning? It's over.
Yeah, well, you're screwed.
All right,
I guess. That's the whole point, is they wanted to recreate that playoff play-in game.
Oh, that one game.
The one game. That's happened the last couple of years. They wanted to recreate that, so that happens every single year now. That's what they love. They got all the ratings that hit those two games, all of the hype that was around that, all the coverage was good for baseball, and now they're doing it permanently.
Right.
Like, hey, that was good. Why don't we do that every year? Like, how can we do that? Oh, I know. Let's create a one-game play-in. It doesn't add any more real baseball to an already excruciating long season. I mean, I love how long the baseball season is, but there is so much baseball to be played all the year round. Do you really want to add more 8 teams to each division and just completely draw out the postseason?
Well, 162 games is a lot of games.
So many games.
Well, that's one of the greatest things about baseball. It's a marathon. Plus, you have plenty of pitching. You got plenty of arms. You got plenty of players. They do go through some. It's not like football.
Uh-huh.
In football, every game, they're carrying people off the field. You can go a week or two or 3 weeks or even a month in baseball, and your roster is intact. Now,
it's a different game.
Yes, it's completely. Well, I've said this a million times. It's a chess game for athletes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what baseball is. Very hard to hit a baseball. Very hard to throw 90 plus. Very hard to throw change-ups in a little area 18 inches wide.
It's one of the hardest things to do in sports is to hit a
period. Absolutely. Period. And that's why everybody doesn't do it. That's why there's so many lacrosse players. I mean, I'm just
easy now.
No, I'm not going to be easy now. I mean, you know, lacrosse, in my opinion, I mean, there are
you never
a lot
played
of
lacrosse.
No, I don't. No, I no, because I could hit a baseball and I could throw a baseball.
Well,
that's why I never played
lacrosse. Is the fastest sport on two legs. It is ridiculously fast. There, it takes an incredible amount of endurance, and it is one of the fastest growing sports in America right now because it's physical. It has everything that you'd want.
And why aren't we watching it on TV, professional lacrosse?
We will.
You're out of your mind. That's what they said about soccer 50 years ago.
And soccer is the world's great. I mean, I'm not a soccer fan, but soccer is growing in America.
But the MLS is not Major League Baseball.
David Beckham came over to play in the MLS.
MLS is
growing.
He came over for $20 million, let's be honest.
Yeah, and he's still playing here, isn't he? And
right.
he just won the MLS Cup.
Right. So I guess here's my question. Why aren't – I mean, do you go to every Washington game?
Nationals?
See soccer? No, see soccer.
Oh, D.C. United?
Yeah.
No.
Well, then why, Roy? I mean, if it's such a great thing.
I don't like soccer, but that doesn't mean that everyone else doesn't like soccer.
It's on NBC.
It's on, yeah. It's
now,
on
let me
NBC.
Ask you this. Would you be a season ticket holder if – now, I know I won't be alive when this happens, but you might be. If there is a National Lacrosse League –
There is.
Well, I'm not talking about indoor lacrosse.
Okay.
I'm not talking about playing in a high school gym.
Okay. Well.
I'm talking about playing on a field in front of 60,000 people.
Okay. I'll let you finish your comment. Go ahead. What are you saying?
Would you buy season tickets to go see that instead of going to see the Nationals?
Would I go see the Chesapeake?
Because when would they play?
Bayhawks. Is that what you're asking me? Would I go see the Chesapeake Bayhawks play? Yes.
Okay.
I know a guy who plays for the Chesapeake Bayhawks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd go see him.
Okay.
How
many people go to each game they have?
I don't know. They just moved in. They just moved into.
Think
the
they have 1,000.
They just moved into the Virginia area not too long ago. They were the Baltimore Bayhawks.
So they're in Virginia, not Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I love. Listen, my broker is a 3-time All-American in Hopkins. I love lacrosse. I love to watch it, but not during baseball season.
Well,
I mean, you know, in my opinion, lacrosse should be a fall sport. But you know why it's not a fall sport?
I love lacrosse.
Because they can only get guys that play football to play lacrosse in high school.
That's not true.
Oh, are you kidding me?
I played baseball
in my high school. It's almost everybody from my high school plays football is a lacrosse player. And you know who the rest of the lacrosse players are? These little tiny guys I can't even get to come in my wrestling room and wrestle. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm speaking the truth here.
No, at my high
school, I'm 58 years old. I've been coaching since I was 18.
What high school? What South Lakes? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
South Lakes sucks at lacrosse.
Yeah, well, you know what? Guess what? False Church sucks at everything.
No, we beat up on South Lakes.
God,
okay,
you're 26 years old.
We beat up. All right, we beat up on them.
Nobody's.
It was like 10 years ago, but we beat them up.
You ain't been
to
South Lakes in a while, but my point is our lacrosse team, I'm sure, sucks.
I'm telling you that
we're terrible.
Lacrosse maybe it used to be when it was first. first starting out, like 98 was when it first started in the northern region. That's what you're talking about.
You sound like the soccer people that are 80 that said when they were 20 that it was going to be the sport in the United States. In the 60s, they said that.
Well, it's,
trust me,
it's
I was an All-American soccer player. I was all met when I was 15 years old. And guess what? I went to college and I played baseball and I wrestled. Why? Because soccer was too damn easy. It wasn't even that much fun.
Well, look, soccer...
Occasionally, we wouldn't even score.
Soccer is growing.
It's hard to score sometimes.
Soccer is growing in the United States. That's apparent.
Oh, God.
Look at our...
That's because we start our kids at 3 years of age playing soccer.
Our Olympic team just beat Italy for the first time. The soccer is growing, okay?
That means we got 11 guys that can play.
Oh, my gosh. On the other side of the break, we're going to get more into this NBA. We're going to get more into this lacrosse, I guess, talking.
Gotta love
this. Want to talk about it.
Lacrosse.
AM 1230 WFAS. A whole lot of sun to fall. If you were obstacles, you just drive your cold. Cause one monkey don't stop the show. Where we hit a foe, she don't know. We in the city where the pro shake, rattle, roll. And I'm a goddamn rolling stone. I don't beg, I can hold my own. And we're back, New York, here on AM 1230 WFAS. I know there's a lot of New Yorkers out there who are going to back me up with lacrosse.
Yeah, that's because it's one of two places in the country that really know what lacrosse is.
Because Gate played for Syracuse.
Long Island, for the most part, and Baltimore, the greater Baltimore area. Not Washington.
The DMV.
The greater Baltimore area. And let me just tell you something. We went through some big deal recently, and it was a big deal because a young woman lost her life. A year ago, was that, or might have even been 2 years ago? Might have been 2010 that Yardley Love got murdered by her boyfriend, who had a drinking problem probably at a very early age. As a matter of fact, the thing that made me the most upset about that entire story was that week that he killed his girlfriend, he played in a golf tournament. It was a fundraiser with his father, and he was trashed. And his father played golf with him while he was trashed. I mean, you don't go out with your son when he's drunk and play at a fundraiser. My point is that was a terrible thing that happened. But there's been a lot of talk about how this has always been a sport where the kids that have the most money, whose parents are most successful in business, that have inherited money and made money and done a lot of things. There's a lot of schools in the Washington area, Landon, Bullis, Georgetown Prep, you name it. I mean, they have great lacrosse programs. Mm-hmm. Very few public high schools have great lacrosse programs in Virginia, in the D.C. area. In Baltimore, they
UVA?
Almost all.
That, UVA is one
that's
of the,
a college goofball. I'm talking about high schools right now.
Well, Virginia, Robinson, Oakden.
They're okay.
They're, no.
They wouldn't,
come on
they
now.
Would, they wouldn't be Georgetown Prep. Or,
yes, they would.
They would?
Robinson. Robinson and Oakden are
well,
two
let me
of the,
tell you something about Robinson High School, just so you know. My high school wrestling coach, John Epperle, who's in the National Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. coached there for 20 years, won 18 Northern Virginia titles. To this day, their football coach won't let any of his football players wrestle. That's just stupidity. If you're good on a mat, you're good anywhere.
Yeah, but
do you understand what I'm saying? But they play lacrosse.
Well, the school
that's ridiculous.
Well, Robinson is a very, very good lacrosse program. Same with
well, you know
same
what? They
Oakton.
Don't have they have a very good wrestling
that
program
whole,
too.
The whole DMV area and the tri-state area in New York, Rochester has a lot of good lacrosse programs in there. Syracuse University is
Albany.
A very good
right.
lacrosse program.
But Long Island is kind of camp.
I mean, Gary Gate is one of the best lacrosse players to ever play the game. Went to Syracuse.
Right.
I mean,
well, Jim Brown went to Syracuse. He was an All-American.
Lacrosse player.
Absolutely. Well, he could do anything. I mean, let's face it. He was probably the best athlete of his time, Jim Brown. Mm-hmm. Him and Jim Thorpe. How would you like
and
to
he
have
played
a
lacrosse.
How would you like to have a do you think he could have played baseball? He probably would have hit 500 home runs playing baseball.
Yeah, but he got bored standing in right field.
No, I don't think he did.
That's why.
I don't think he did. I think that he was like one of the few African Americans that ever played lacrosse anywhere for a long time. Do you remember?
Well,
I mean, read a book on him playing lacrosse. He was a phenomenal athlete.
Lacrosse is one of those sports that is definitely one of the higher ranking, you know, you have to have money to play because you go out and you buy a lacrosse stick. To buy a good lacrosse stick, it's like $150, $175 to buy a good lacrosse stick. That's a stick. Then you got to look at a helmet. You got to look at shoulder pads. You got to look at elbow pads. You got to look at cleats. And then you just get on the field.
And
now you're looking at practice time. Now you're looking at field time.
And they do all of that. They do all of that, and nobody ever hits anybody anyway.
What?
I'm Bruce Hall.
Come on.
I'm talking to Roy Edwards.
Now you're showing that you've never seen a lacrosse game.
No, I've seen lots of lacrosse games. No, they bang.
They hit.
They bang, and they run, and they do this, and they do that. But listen, the biggest problem that I see with lacrosse is they play it at the wrong time of the year.
What? I think they play the perfect time of the year. You're going against baseball, which I love baseball.
If you were great at baseball, you wouldn't have played lacrosse.
I was very good at baseball.
Well, then why did you not?
Why did I quit?
Did you do both?
Yeah. I, my freshman year of high school, I played baseball and lacrosse, and I quit baseball.
Why?
Because it was boring.
It's because your team sucked big time.
Well, Falls Church, they were terrible. They were okay at that time.
Wasn't your dad coaching baseball then?
No, not when I was a freshman, though.
Well, he should have been.
He became the coach after.
Well, you know what? Back when Al McCulloch, who was my high school coach, my high school coach coached at Falls Church. They named the field after Al McCulloch Sr.
I played baseball and lacrosse, and I quit baseball. Played lacrosse.
All right.
It was a lot more fun.
Yeah, Matt's tired of hearing us talk about this. This is Bruce Hall. This is Roy Edwards. let's talk about something else. Let's talk about that. How good is our soccer team, our U.S. team? Are they that good?
I don't know.
Did you see
the game?
Okay.
I mean, we got Tim Howard. He's a good goalie.
Now, let me ask you this. Is Italy having a down year, or do they just have a down game?
I mean, it's a friendly.
At the end of the day, it didn't have anything to do. It's not a qualifier.
At the end of the day, it's a friendly.
It was not a qualifier. It was not that important.
But it's a big deal.
No, I got to tell you,
it's a big deal for U.S. soccer.
I like soccer, I used to coach soccer.
I
love coaching soccer. What's so great about the sport of soccer? This is for all you people in New York and everywhere listening to me. Defense is really easy. If you got a good goalkeeper, you got to keep everything outside.
Well, the U.S. has
as long as everything stays outside and you don't get scored on, you can't lose.
The U.S. men's and women's team both have good goalies, and Hope Sutler for the women's team and Tim Howard for the guys' team. I mean, those are two of the top goalies in the world. I mean, they're a little old and they're a little out of their playing days, I guess you could say, but they're still very, very good goalies. They're experienced, they're veterans, and at one time they were on top of the world. I mean, Tim Howard played for Manchester.
Well. Not only that, but the women's team, you know, won a world championship. They won an Olympic championship.
Well, they almost won the gold. They lost to Japan.
I thought they won it.
Mm-mm, they lost to Japan.
Well, I mean, but they
I watched
had
the game
a
and
very
I love,
competitive team.
Alex Morgan, I love you. And I love you, Hope Solo.
Now, we talked about how bad the ACC is in basketball. They're very strong in soccer. Yeah. The ACC is very strong. Mm-hmm. Even when I was
Big
in
East
high
is strong
school
in
and in college,
too.
Clemson always had a great soccer team. Maryland always had a great soccer team. Virginia, Duke. You go down the list, they've all had good. Wake Forest, not so much.
They're better at lacrosse. The ACC is a better lacrosse division than it is a soccer division.
I'd say.
UVA, Maryland,
yeah.
Duke.
And why is that? Because it's very close to Baltimore and Northern Virginia and D.C.
The tri-state area. Look,
and
the Big East
is where they come from.
The Big East and the ACC.
What about West Virginia?
Lacrosse.
They have a lacrosse team?
They have
a club.
Yeah, I played for West Virginia.
But that's still good. I mean, but West Virginia hadn't picked it up yet. Even though it's a Big East kind of thing.
We couldn't get approved for the NCAA because we didn't have the Title IX rule.
And well, of
we
course
get
not.
A, we
I mean,
couldn't get funding.
That's
the
because
same reason,
football,
yeah, same reason why
gets
they
86 full scholarships. That's why.
Same reason why they have a hard time keeping a hockey team at WVU. I mean, they have two hockey teams. They have a club and a varsity, but...
You know, one of these mornings, we're going to spend about a half an hour on Title IX, and we're going to talk about how men's sports has, for the most part, at the Division I level, been raped by the Title IX, quote-unquote, you know, situation.
Well, it's
not about Title IX. It's about,
a good idea.
No, but it's already...
It's a great idea.
But it's already served its purpose. It's already done what it meant to do. Women do have exactly, for the most part... as many teams as they're supposed to have according to how many women are enrolled in the colleges. What the problem is that football is considered a men's sport. And football is nothing but a huge fundraiser. Yeah. Football makes 95% of all the money, except basketball makes a little bit at most Division I schools, but nothing like football. You can go look at American University. American University has almost as many people at a wrestling match as they do their basketball games. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. And they've had a great wrestling program in the last 5-6 years. But the thing that's bad about football is that football gets 86 full rides. Now, let's think about this for a second, me and you. Okay, because we can solve a lot of the world's problems right here. You and I can, Roy. I swear we can. 86 full rides. There's 11 players on each team, right? Defense and offense. Nobody plays both ways anymore. Very rarely. Yeah. So that's 22 players. Add two kickers, a punter and a kicker.
Well,
that's, no, listen. Give me a minute. Okay. That's 24. Now let's give them 22 more because they have to scrimmage. That's 46 players. All right. Let's add another 22 to that. That gives us 3 strings of a player at each position on a full scholarship to go to college. Now that would be 68, okay? They get 86. So let's say we subtract 68 from 86, right? That's 18 scholarships. Baseball, 11.9. Even though there's eight starters at every position, and there's about six or seven pitchers with your starters and your... I mean, baseball needs... If they were like football, they would get 60 scholarships. They get 11.9. Do you know how much wrestling gets? 9.9. And they have 10 weight classes. That's actually better than baseball. And then you look at soccer. Most places, I think soccer's like 9.9. It's either 9.9 or 10.9. But my point is this. If football would just take away 20 full rides a year and allow 20 walk-ons on, you'd never notice a difference. Never. No, you wouldn't.
Maybe.
No. Oh, come on.
Well, the parity would definitely...
You don't know kids that play Division I football that have a full ride that have never gotten on a field?
Of course.
I know hundreds of kids like that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it would expand the talent pool. Like, with the SEC, probably would, you know... I mean, we'd see those players who are on full rides to Alabama who never see the field would then... You know, go play somewhere else.
It would be a more competitive environment.
Right.
And it would be a more competitive environment.
Right.
And it would, I got something back from some lady last night when I was sending out messages and we were talking about this. She even said, hey, that would even give the girls a few more. She's right.
Yeah.
Football is the problem. I'm telling you, they are the problem when it comes to NCAA Division I sports.
Yeah, but
I'm Bruce Hall. I'm talking to Roy Edwards.
Football just destroyed the Big East conference in basketball. I mean, we're going to watch. This is a big deal.
Syracuse University
is about to leave the Big East conference. They're about to play for the last time ever in the Big East championship tournament in Madison Square Garden.
Right.
I mean, that's a big deal. That's like a home. That's a home. That's their home turf. They're going out on their home turf for the last time playing in Madison Square Garden before they're shipped off to the ACC. And the reason why we're going to lose the Syracuse-Georgetown rivalry is because money. Syracuse is shipping off to the ACC for football reasons. West Virginia and Pitt, one of the longest rivalries in sports, is going to be shipped off. Pitt's going to the ACC. West Virginia's going to the Big 12. I mean, we're seeing major conferences being broken up. I mean, the Big East isn't a major... football conference, but they own the pack when it comes to basketball.
But they're still going to get 86 full rides a year in football.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a joke.
That's what I'm saying.
Opinion.
The money is in football.
Well, because this is a football country.
What football wants, football gets.
Look at the NFL. Look at the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, college football is just a very tiny NFL. There's just hundreds of teams.
Yeah.
Hundreds of teams. There's fewer, I think there's 86 or 88 NCAA Division I wrestling teams right now. When I wrestled, there were 300.
I mean, we're even...
300. And they've lost them all because of Title IX restrictions. Because football bullies every other sport.
We're even talking about whether college athletes should be paid. The only reason why most people are even bringing this conversation up is because of football. That's the only reason people bring it up is because of football. Nobody thinks that a college woman's tennis player should be paid. Nobody thinks that a crew rower should be paid. It's about football. And should Cam Newton have been paid? Should Reggie Bush have been paid? Should he have gotten that house? Should football players be paid?
Well, I mean,
that's all it
if
is.
It's against, yeah, but if it's against the rules, they shouldn't be paid.
Right. And people want to make that
happened,
legal.
Look what happened in Ohio State. Yeah, but that's that talk right there. Here's something. I had a question at one time, and I went out and found out. I can't remember exactly what the number was, but women and men have basically almost exactly the same number of scholarships total.
Well, they have to. That's part of the
Title IX. No, but except women have more because there's more women in college than men. Okay? That's true. I think there's 51% of the college campuses, you know, in the United States have women. 49% are men. Okay, here's the other thing. How many percent, Roy, do you think of all the people that watch any sport in college total watch women's sports? And how many do you think watch men? You're going to die when you hear this.
I didn't go to a single women's athletic event.
4%. 4% of the total amount of attendance at NCAA Division I sporting events go to women's events. 96 go to men's events.
We had to throw my fraternity.
So if that's
the
case, why does football use, you know, attendance as is like their major reason they get 86 scholarships. Football is ridiculous.
People only go to people go to football games. They don't even like football. They go to tailgate.
I know.
It's part of the experience.
It is. It's part of the experience.
People go to certain schools because of the football team.
But why should baseball only get 11.9? And I'll tell you why. Because baseball doesn't have the attendance figures.
I couldn't tell you a single person who played for the West Virginia baseball team.
They have a pretty lousy program.
They were ranked at one point.
Not any time in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
No. West Virginia stinks.
I'm pretty sure they
were ranked
like 24.
I talk people out of going there to play baseball, Roy. Well, I just do. I've known people that have kind of headed up there. I mean, no, don't get me wrong. West Virginia has great sporting history. I think they do. Hell, Sam Huff went there, for crying out loud.
The only reason I know that Steven Strasburg played for San Diego State is because he was all over ESPN.
Well, let me ask you this. Also not from the West Coast. Anything that's west of the Mississippi is really hard to keep track of anyway, because there are so many universities this side of the Mississippi. Yep. But you know who his head coach was at San Diego State? Tony Gwynn.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why he was – I mean, Tony Gwynn is in the Hall of Fame. Uh-huh. Tony Gwynn is unfortunately – being treated for mouth cancer from dipping all of his adult life.
Yep.
I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm talking to Roy Edwards, and we're getting into some pretty deep stuff here, and this is very important. And if this isn't what you wanted to hear, New York, I'm sorry, but it affects everybody. And when we're talking about Title IX, we're talking about football, we're talking about why do all these sports only get X amount. Now Division III and Division II, Roy, they don't get any money. There is no money.
Well,
you know what
I'm saying?
There's no
three,
such. All it is academic scholarships. Academic money is all they get. Now, in NAIA, it's hilarious because you can transfer to an NAIA school, and their rules are totally different. You can go from an NCAA Division I school to an NAIA school, and you don't even have to sit a semester. I mean, the NCAA, in my opinion, has totally bullied every men's sport there is. Now, if you're a woman and you're not getting enough scholarships in a sport, tell me the sport, and I'll tell you, you have a better chance of getting more scholarships than a man does in baseball. But baseball, to get 11.9 scholarships per team, per year, is ridiculous. You know how many men are on a roster? 35. 35 men. That means they basically all get a quarter of a scholarship. You think football would like it if they all got a quarter of a scholarship? All 86 of them?
No.
That would give them, what, 21.5 scholarships. They'd never do it. You know? Why can't they live with 50 or 60 is my point, and let the other 20 or 30 walk on? You know what the answer to that is, Roy? They could, but they don't want to.
It's because of money.
Yeah.
Everything's about money.
Yeah, I guess.
It boils down to money. For college football, that's the beast. That is where universities make.
Let me ask you this. How's West Virginia football weekends? Good.
Really
good. They're
fun.
They're a lot of fun.
They're amazing.
East Carolina, same way.
Yeah.
East Carolina University, same way. You know, and hopefully we may be in the Big East is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, and WVU.
Have you heard that?
Yeah, WVU just paid $20 million to leave the Big East early to go play in the Big 12. $20 million. That just shows you the power of college football.
You know, the Pitt-West Virginia rivalry is one of the best rivalries I ever knew. They all recruit the same kids, too, which is what really makes that game
backyard
so important.
Brawl.
Absolutely important. Listen, it's been a great day.
Thanks for hanging out with us today.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, people. Thank you, New York. Hey, turn that TV on and watch the Knicks kick the Celtics' butt. Take the 3 points. Look, we're 1-0 this season. Let's give them another winner. Knicks win today. Rajon Rondo gone. This is AM 1230.
WFAS.